Welcome to Thursday's show. What's up, everybody? Adam Azer with three awesome analysts. Al Melchior, Keith Cummings, Chris Towers, in no particular order. Sorry, Chris. Good morning, guys.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry, Chris. It's just, you know, you were the first one in the office today, so we did it.
I was going to ask who the third awesome analyst is.
He was,
and I will let you guys figure out which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was not the first one in the office. He was the first one in this room. I had been here for a while.
First one in the room. I apologize. We don't want to make Chris out to be too early today. Chris wrote the All Sell High Team article. You can catch that fantasynews.cbssports.com. It's pretty predictable how every show is going to start these days. We're going to look at yesterday's outings, and we're going to see which starting pitcher that's, you know, universally owned and started was bad, and then we're going to talk about them. It's just like every day right now as we're here in early May. And
well, I had something different I wanted to start with today.
Oh, please, by all means.
I wanted to give you a compliment.
Okay, well, wait. Let's get the sarcasm meter out for Al and Chris.
You've done a really nice job over the last week or two of highlighting the stuff that the recent pieces that Chris has written.
Well, thank you. And you know, I was gonna say that's an 8, by the way, on the sarcasm meter.
Do you?
No, I think he means that genuinely.
Do you need a hug?
No, thank you.
Me? Oh, Heath.
Are you gonna be okay?
He's done a really nice job.
Are you gonna get through this?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Sorry.
I'll take that as a no.
Heath also wrote the category specialist story that you should read, where he gives some love to Ryan Howard, among others. And Al, what have you written that we can plug?
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you asked, because I wrote something yesterday dropping in on late-round flyers where I calibrated the drop-o-meter.
Well, that sounds really good.
Cool. Or drop-o-meter.
I look forward to reading that, Al.
Yeah, me too.
What's the sarcasm on that one?
Zero.
Yeah, he really means it. Well, welcome to the show. Let's get going here. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Since we've been waiting, you know, so long to read emails, we're going to read them a little bit earlier in the show today, emails and tweets. But let's start out with a category called, which starting pitchers are we worried about today? And the two that I highlighted are Jose Fernandez and Felix Hernandez. And I hate seeing them.
I guess that means we're not worried about Corey Kluber anymore, right?
Well, you tell me.
We're off Corey Kluber worried, because that's kind of the point. These guys are mostly good.
Yeah.
Who was worried about Corey Kluber?
Lots of people.
Well, I mean, in this room.
I was a little worried.
This room. You said we.
The royal we.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, I wasn't in the room, but I was a little worried about Corey Kluber.
See?
All right, fair enough.
But no, okay, I'm going to bring this up again about Corey Kluber. And you give me a little bit of time to look up the exact stat, but why don't you talk about Jose and Felix and tell me if you're concerned about those guys?
I had somebody ask me last night late afternoon during his bad start at the Athletics yesterday, why I still had Felix so high. And he said, the strikeouts are gone. He's not striking anybody out. And I said, looked at it, and I was like, you know, he's two strikeouts shy of his career average. You see, he's 7.7, and he's normally 8.5, but two strikeouts would make all that difference. And they said, yeah, but he struck out 10 A's, and other than that, he's not had any good strikeout games.
Which is not exactly true. I mean, also, the season debut, 6 and 6 innings, and the A's are a very hard team to strike out.
Right, but then you look at his last four.
I
think the guy's argument carries a lot more weight today than it did yesterday. Like, I don't think he expected that I would have lowered Felix in my rankings in the middle of that start. So, I mean, in his last four starts, he struck out 4 and 5 innings against the Yankees, and that was a game in which he walked 6. Then he struck out 4 and 7 innings against the Angels, who don't really strike out very much. Then 4 and 7 2/3 against the Royals, who, again, don't strike out very much. And then he kind of got bombed, and his defense let him down against the A's yesterday.
Yeah, but it's not right to say it's just the defense.
Well, I thought he got bombed.
Yeah, but he only had 3 swinging strikes yesterday, which is a crazy low number. That is really bad. And I know that
against the team he got 14 against a month ago.
And that can happen from time to time. It's not necessarily a sign of impending doom, but it is certainly a sign that he was not good yesterday.
I think if you were worried about Felix coming into the year because of his second half numbers, you have every right to be worried about him right now.
Sure.
Who are you more worried about, Felix Hernandez or Jose Fernandez?
Oh, definitely Felix.
Yeah.
Well,
Jose is definitely more worried about the 30-year-old who's, you know, 2,000 innings into his career. It wouldn't be crazy for him to start to fall off. We did see it. I mean, we saw it a little bit last season. Like, he was bad in June. He was bad in August. He had a 2.94 ERA in July, a 2.86 ERA in September. You know, nearly a strikeout per inning in September. The control wasn't great. So it's not like he was just awful in the second half of the season all around. His second half numbers are really inflated by the one bad month, but, you know, we're used to Felix not having any bad months.
That being said, I would like it if Jose Fernandez would pitch like he's actually one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's striking batters out, but stop walking guys.
That's the thing. He's not throwing strikes. And even in the first two starts where he was getting strikeouts through all six, he's not throwing strikes. And his velocity is way down this year.
And that's not nothing.
No, it's not.
Especially
nothing
for a guy that, I mean, has thrown, over 100 innings once in the majors.
Yeah, I would just say that velocity is going to go down as you get older. Nobody's going to throw
the same when they're
22 as they're when they're 25.
Let me jump in and ask, who are we talking about? Jose Fernandez or Felix Hernandez? Can we use last names, please?
Well, they're so similar. I mean, why, you know.
Okay, we'll talk about.
I'm talking about Hernandez.
We're talking about Hernandez.
I was talking about
Hernandez. Oh, yeah. Hernandez, his velocity is way down. It's like 3 miles per hour. That's a massive drop.
Yeah.
It was up a little bit yesterday, but still only like 90.6. And like I said, only three swinging strikes. He was not fooling anyone yesterday.
No, he didn't.
I would like
it
if Fernandez, whose velocity is also down, would start to pitch like an ace, because Fernandez is... I mean, you said Felix is not throwing strikes. Jose's not throwing near as many strikes as he normally does either.
Yeah, although it's a very high bar for him.
He's not sharp right now. He's just kind of throwing from watching him. The issue has been that it takes him a while to settle in, and that's why he's racking up these big pitch counts. His going into last night's start, his OPS allowed through the first time through the order was 1,000. And then every time after that, the second and third time he faces batters, he's been Jose.
And it was the exact opposite last night.
No, I mean, he was good in the first inning, but he started to run into trouble.
But he didn't give up a run until the second and third time through the order, right?
Yeah, but he was struggling in the second and third innings yesterday as well. He hasn't looked sharp. He's, I don't know, he's changed the amount and split of the pitches that he's throwing. He's throwing his slider a lot less. He's throwing his curveball a lot more. He's throwing his changeup more. And I wonder how much of that is just he doesn't have a feel for the curveball quite as much as the slider, but they're trying to work that in more.
All right, let me sum it up here. Two separate owners send you trade offers. One of them sends you a trade offer with Jose Fernandez. The other one sends you a trade offer with Felix Hernandez. Are you more likely to accept the Jose offer? Are you kind of hesitant to accept the Felix offer? Like, where are you on these guys?
Is this a points or a roto league?
It's a roto league.
It's a roto league? Then I'm probably accepting the Jose offer.
Yeah, I'm fine. I have very few worries about Jose, because it doesn't seem like a physical thing. It just kind of seems like he just has a couple of things to work out. He's not far off. He's racking up huge swing strike numbers. Felix, I think there's definitely reason to be concerned.
Yeah. And I would just add to this too, because we talked about Iwakuma yesterday, Adam, right?
Yeah.
And I made the point that the matchups really, you know, were not in his favor. Well, I mean, Felix has had a bunch of matchups, you know, other than his first start against the Rangers. I mean, everyone since then is against a team that doesn't strike out much, doesn't whiff much. But, you know, two of those teams are the A's and the Angels. He's going to face those teams a lot. So is Iwakuma. So I have to wonder if we're just going to see that kind of blanket the Mariners staff and, you know, be an issue in the AL West in general.
Okay, guys, here's the Kluber stat I wanted to give you. I gave it out on the last podcast that you know, after he had pitched. So far, so his last three starts, Corey Kluber has pitched 24 innings. He's given up 12 hits, 3 earned runs. He's been great. He's got 2 walks, 23 strikeouts in 24 innings. Kluber had a 4-start stretch last May in which he pitched 32 innings. So again, eight innings per start, gave up 22 hits, 5 earned runs, outstanding stuff. two walks, 50 strikeouts in 32 innings. So you look at those stars and you say he's back to being Cy Young candidate, one of the best pitchers. He followed that up with a 3.97 ERA in June.
Okay.
All I'm saying is he did the same thing last year. So I'm not going to – I can't say Corey Kluber is completely safe and – for me anyway, but I mean
– So what you're telling me is that ace pitchers have elite months and average months throughout the season.
No. What I'm saying is that Corey Kluber – first of all, that is oversimplifying it way too much because Kluber had a bad –
I think that's what Heath is actually saying to you.
No. Kluber had a bad year last year with the ERA. ERA.
No, he had a fine year.
No, he had a disappointing year.
He had 245 strikeouts.
He disappointed his fantasy owners. He came off a Cy Young season, and he had like a 350 ERA. I don't understand why we just forget about ERA. This pisses me off so much. You look at the peripherals, and you sit there, strikeouts and this and that.
All right, then tell us why the ERA means more.
Because those are results that fantasy owners have to live with.
But it's not necessarily as predictive.
I'm not saying it's predictive. And I think you look at what Kluber's doing and sure, you're jazzed about it.
You actually are saying it's predictive.
No, I'm not. I'm saying he didn't have that good of a year because he had a 350 ERA.
And what does that mean for this year?
It doesn't mean anything for this year.
All right. Well, then we agree.
The one thing I would say, beyond just the predictability or lack thereof of ERA is, the difference between his Cy Young season and his quote-unquote bad season was 18 runs. Over the course of 25 weeks, you're not really – like, if he allows six fewer runs last season –
I'm so tired of these.
His numbers look a lot better.
I'm tired of these
you're not really – like, you're not noticing a difference in Corey Kluber if he gives up six fewer runs over the course of 32 starts. That's why I wouldn't look at ERA.
Argument about any player in baseball. The bottom line is he pitched 222 innings. It's not a small sample size, and he had a 3.49 ERA. All I'm saying was he was disappointing last year. It does not mean he's going to be disappointing this year. It doesn't mean he's a bad pitcher. And I understand that you look at the strikeouts, the innings, all that stuff. That's great, and that's why you ranked him so high. I don't disagree with that at all. I just want to get it out there. Taijuan Walker didn't have a good year last year. Corey Kluber had a disappointing year last year for where you drafted him because the ERA is a huge, huge stat for fantasy.
Here's the thing. If he throws 222 innings and strikes out 245 batters with a 3.49 ERA and wins 15 games, he didn't have a disappointing year. He had a disappointing year in fantasy last year because he only won 9 games, and that had a lot more to do with his team.
It's both.
I don't think 222 innings in a point
is nothing special.
It's not good, but it's not. It's one number.
Heath, I mean, if
222 and 245 are ace.
Yeah, but Heath, if he throws, if he has a 3.49 ERA, he's less likely to win 15 games.
You know? Well, yeah, if he allows more runs, but most 3.49 ERA pitchers aren't going 9-16.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, so let's read some emails and tweets.
He went 11-5 in 24 starts with a 3.85 ERA 2 years before that.
Sure, he should have won more games. Corey Kluber is great. Emails and tweets from Steve. Is Hector Rondon droppable in a 12-team points league? The Cubs score too many runs, and I've been starting Velasquez and Robertson over him. Can I drop Hector Rondon?
That's not an issue that I'm going to get concerned about for my closer, that the offense is too good.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. Like, we were still drafting Roberto Ozuna coming into this season, right? Like,
but the Blue Jays offense isn't any good. I mean, you've seen them this
week. Exactly. but I will say in like a 12-team points league, closers are whatever. Like, they're not – if there's a great SPARP out there or something –
yeah, he could be the odd guy out, Rondon. Yeah. But I'm not dropping him because the Cubs score too many runs.
Still, I think if you've got Robertson and you've got Rondon, I think Rendon's going to be better the rest of the year.
Ooh, I don't... I don't think I agree with that.
Rodon. Wait.
No, Rondon.
Sorry. Rondon. Rondon. All right, well, I would try
to trade... I think Anthony Rendon's going to be the worst of those pitchers.
I would try to trade someone because you got three guys that are worth starting every week.
Trade Velasquez.
See, I don't mind keeping a third reliever in a head-to-head points league because it's just if, you know, something happens to one of the other two.
If Velasquez only has one start 1 week and it's against like a lefty-heavy lineup or it's in cores, like, you don't want to start him.
Well, I don't love keeping guys that I don't intend on starting on my bench because that's a shallow format where you want to stream two-star pitchers whenever you can. So to just keep Rondo, like I had the same exact situation. I had Cishek, Papelbon, and Axford, Madsen. And they're all three worth starting, but I had to drop Madsen. I don't want to drop Madsen. I tried to trade him. It didn't work, but I dropped him to pick up Marco Estrada, and I dropped Marco Estrada already, but I used him for the two start week. I mean, that's the way you use those roster spots in those shallower leagues. That's not worth hanging on to guys that you don't plan on starting, in my opinion. That said, I also own Giolito in that league, so how about that? Here's a tweet from Andrew. Can I drop Tyler White now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's one from Chris. Who would you rather have rest of season, Joey Rickard or Brandon Drury?
Drury.
It depends on the composition of my team, probably. Probably.
Well, yes. Drury's hitting right now. I don't think either one of them is going to be someone who's a definite contributor for the rest of the season, so go with the guy who's actually doing something right now.
Better stash, this is from Matt. Javier Baez or Trey Turner?
Yeah, that's tough. I'll go Baez.
Yeah.
I just think the thing that I think all keep saying about Trey Turner is he's good at everything but doesn't seem outstanding at anything. And Baez could have major power.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about from Brad? How droppable would you rate Domingo Santana in a five outfielder head-to-head categories league? Domingo Santana.
I had someone ask me if they should drop Santana for Byung-ho Park on Twitter. I think I would.
In a five outfielder league, I'm not.
Not very droppable. I mean, if we're gonna rate it, I'd give him a three.
Domingo Santana does not have one steal this year, I don't think.
No, two caught stealing, no stolen bases.
That's a bad ratio.
Would be one of the worst in Major League history.
He keeps doing enough for me to keep rostering him, but not enough for me to start him. And he's also got a little shoulder injury, but yeah, all right. So don't quite drop him yet. I don't think we're, you know, unless there's someone great. And here's one about Byung-ho Park. This is from Tim. Joe Mauer or Byung-ho Park?
Byung-ho Park.
Yeah, give me Byung-ho Park.
I think you might have to go Mauer in a points league, though. Like, he is so much better right now. Like, I looked this up this morning. Mauer is killing Park in points.
Are you starting either one of them in a points league anyway?
Ideally, no. But yeah, plate discipline is huge.
I think both of those guys are, you know, because of the corner infielder. I think Byung-ho Park, I wrote about him yesterday. Part of it is just that I really want him to be good because he's really fun. But part of it is just that, like, he's doing a lot of things that indicate that the power that he showed in Korea was not just a product of the level of competition. He has legitimate power. He hit one out of Minute Maid Park yesterday.
He did?
Like, it was a foul ball, but it left the stadium.
So, what's next? Oh, Nicasio or Eichhoff?
Eichhoff.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
Okay.
Nicasio has a really low swinging strike rate. Like, one of the lowest in baseball. I think he's like 12th from the bottom among qualified pitchers.
Didn't realize it was that low. And I think two starts ago, he had a spike. And then the last start, I don't recall. It was against the Cubs yesterday. So I haven't looked at that. That's,
he's at 7.5% right now.
Yeah, that's not horrifically low, but it's not Pelfrey territory, but it's average.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris. Oh, okay. Back to me. And from Mark, would you trade Piscotty for Aaron Nola in a categories league? Piscotty
yep.
or Nola?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, we love Aaron Nola. And another Mark, a different guy. Should I trade Adam Wainwright for Kenta Maeda? I would do it.
I would do that too. Quickly.
Are you guys being earnest? Is that like, of course you'd do that. I thought that question was a joke.
Oh, okay.
I could say that being a real question.
It's real.
It is good.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, neither Al or Adam would do that.
Ooh, I don't know. Is that true? I never liked Wainwright. I did not want anything to do with him.
I think that's probably true for me. I think, you know, Maeda, he went through the month of April without stranding, or rather without
allowing a runner to score. Yes.
Yeah, allowing runner to score. I think he's gotten a bit overblown.
I'm on record.
I don't believe in Wainwright at all at this point.
I'm on record saying I don't think Maeda's an ace, but he's good.
I've dropped Adam Wainwright out of my top 60 pitchers. So.
Ooh, wow. By the way, you know, the thing with me is that I just saw Adam Wainwright had a really good ERA last year, so obviously he's a great pitcher, which is why I love them so much.
Exactly.
I understand.
Did not draft him in one league.
Did not disappoint his owners.
The big news, more PED suspensions are coming. Brace yourselves. Garrett Richards is seeing a doctor for fatigue. He may miss his next start. Alex Rodriguez is on the DL with a hamstring injury, so you are going to see more Aaron Hicks. Beltran's going to DH. Hicks will get more at-bats to play the outfield, which is great news for Yankees pitchers.
So you're just completely ignoring Dustin Ackley?
No, but I read that they're going to get Hicks more at-bats.
Ackley, I read the same thing.
I read Ackley was going to be the beneficiary against righties, though, which would be the bigger impact.
Okay.
They faced one yesterday, and Hicks played.
Well, fine.
No, I mean, look, it could be Ackley, but hopefully it's Hicks, not for fantasy owners, but for the Yankees pitchers, because, you know, Beltran in right field is horrible.
And is he tall enough to stand on the wall and catch some of the late lasers that are going that direction?
The Pineda lasers?
Yes.
maybe. Brett Gardner was hit by a pitch on the elbow. He's day-to-day. Javier Baez started again at third base, but we'll see, because Jason Hayward might play today, so we'll see what happens with Baez. Ben Revere could be back any day now, and two pitchers going tonight. I want to know if you're interested in picking them up and beating the rush. Eric Johnson for the White Sox against the Red Sox, and Chris Devensky for the Astros against the Mariners.
I'm not at all interested in Eric Johnson, because we've just been there and done that with him, and one start's not really going to sway me. But Devensky's, you know, still kind of an unknown quantity, so I am very interested to see how he does against the Mariners.
Okay. Remember when I picked him up and you were like, you laughed at me off the
air. I did.
Air.
I scoffed. I mocked. I was terrible.
Yeah, it was mean. Guys, let's play.
Did you laugh because he has a 4.37 minor league ERA?
Yeah, actually, that is why he laughed.
Pretty good reason.
Let's play a rest of season game. Here's how this game works. I name two players. You tell me who you would rather have on your fantasy team rest of season. Would you like me to repeat the rules for you?
What's the format?
I don't get it.
Oh, what's up with you in the format today, Heath?
Well, I'm just curious. There's a couple players on this. I'm looking at the list, and it might matter.
He's being a pedant.
Head-to-head categories is the format.
Awesome.
So we'll kind of split the difference. Okay. Would you rather have rest of season, Matt Harvey or John Lester?
Ooh.
See, I'd rather have John Lester, which means that I need to move Lester up ahead of Harvey and Felix.
I have updated my pitcher rankings this morning, and I still have... I had to move Harvey up just because some of the guys I had ahead of him was moving down, so I'll take Harvey.
Chris?
Yeah, Harvey.
It's just an interesting... I put this one in there because I feel like Lester is pretty solid. Unless teams finally figure it out and just bunt the ball back to him every time.
Just throw his glove, man.
Yeah, something like that. But he's just really solid. He's going to be good. Harvey, you got to say, has more upside. But it's the question of, do you want that upside or do you want the safety at this point? Because there's, you know, when Scott Boras comes out and says that he doesn't know how Harvey's going to respond to last year's workload, that raised eyebrows to me.
So yeah, that was very surprising to me to see that coming out of his mouth. But, you know, it's not like Lester's some chump. I mean, I agree Harvey has more upside, but it's not a big margin. So when you do have a much bigger gap in terms of reliability, to me it's pretty clear I'd rather have Lester.
I would say it wouldn't surprise me if Matt Harvey was one of the three best pitchers in fantasy. It would definitely surprise me if Lester was. So I think Harvey has the more upside. So I would go with that. I tend to default to upside in pitching.
Lucas Duda or Brandon Belt, both having good years. Duda's 14th in points, but 7th in roto. And Belt is 2nd in points, 5th in roto. And this guy, his plate discipline is outrageous right now. Brandon Belt has 22 walks and 16 strikeouts, a 444 OBP. So who would you rather own, Duda or Belt?
Is this an OBP head-to-head categories? I've got these two back-to-back in my rankings. I'm going to go with Duda.
I've got 4 spaces between them, so I'm definitely taking Duda.
I think Belt's the better player, but I would go with Duda.
Ballpark?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big factor for me, too. I don't really trust him at home, Belt.
Yeah, the home splits for him are pretty big.
And
especially
this one,
with power.
This one's tough, I think. You probably don't. Steven Strasburg or Corey Kluber? Who would you rather own?
Kluber.
I'm not so sure that it's quite so obvious.
I've got them back to back.
Yeah, I'd probably, I don't know.
It's tough. I've got Kluber ahead right now, but this is making me think because, again, you want to talk about upside. I actually think Strasburg's got a little more, but you know, if I'm going to be consistent, I got to take Kluber because clearly there is the durability and reliability factor there.
Yeah, I would go Kluber, but it's really close.
Al, you were kind of, you know, you were very high on Strasburg coming into the season. And do you think he's, you know, having that year, putting it together, big breakout?
I do. And, you know, sort of like I just said, if I didn't worry about injury risk at all with him, I would definitely move him ahead of Kluber. But,
yeah,
you know, just like Lester, Kluber's no chump. So I got to give Kluber the edge here. But, yeah, I think Strasburg definitely it could be having that year and you know, could be one of the top two or three.
Strasburg
overall
is throwing his slider 15% of the time, which is not something he has ever – he's never really thrown a slider. It's always been categorized as a curveball. I wonder if that is – actually, no, I know it's he is throwing – it's a hard slider. The curveball's a lot slower, so that might be part of why he's pitching better.
Well, that's exactly what I would want if I had a pitcher that had durability issues is throw the slider a bunch more.
Yeah, and I mean, I wonder if that's kind of
it's a curveball. Like, it's not like he's throwing the slider instead of like an Ephus. He's throwing one high effort pitch for another.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, Heath. I always have to wonder if maybe you could take the optimistic view on that maybe the national staff, you know, have encouraged him because they think that, you know, his elbow is sound enough now. I don't know.
Could be.
By the way, that was a solid 8.5 on the sarcasm meter, sarcasm-o-meter from Heath there on that Strasburg comment. Very strong.
Thank you.
Strong showing. All right, who would you rather have, Jacoby Ellsbury or Yasiel Puig?
Yasiel Puig, every time.
Not particularly close.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a feeling you would say that, and I would take Puig as well, but I would like to bring something up. Yasiel Puig is not doing anything. And at least Jacoby Ellsbury is stealing a bunch of bases.
I hear that. He's been really disappointing after a hot start, and I had huge expectations for him. I think he has worlds more talent than Jacoby Ellsbury, and is, despite the fact that he missed a bunch of games last season, he is far less likely to get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tiebreaker for me. They're very close so far in the standings. They both have gotten off to slow starts. But I always think people sell Ellsbury short as a player when he's healthy. And he's starting to come around. He's just streaky.
It's the Midwest bias. People are always overlooking the Yankees.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's still a pretty good player. But Puig is like, I mean, people are frustrated with Puig. And,
that was
Puig.
Seven, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, that was. people are frustrated with Puig, and so am I. What do you guys expect from him going forward?
I expect him to be pretty close to a top 20 outfielder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been bad. He's swinging and missing a ton right now. His eye at the plate is, he's not walking very much. He seems to have lost some plate discipline. He's swinging at that pitches outside of the strike zone a lot more, but the talent is so high with him that, like, if I had a buy low opportunity on him, I would definitely take it.
He's shown some signs here recently of breaking out, right?
Well, he hit a huge home run against the Rays the other day. I don't know.
I think he had at least two hits and a double last night.
Yasiel Puig back on track.
Yeah, there we go. So, but Ellsbury reached base like four times and stole two bases, I think, yesterday. So take that. Rougned Odor or Ian Kinsler. I know I put Kipnis in the notes, but I meant to put Kinsler. Rougned Odor or Ian Kinsler. Who would you rather own rest of season?
This is actually I try to do once a week whenever I update my rankings. I do a Twitter poll to ask
people to set your rankings. These
yes, exactly. Because these are guys that I have back to back in the rankings. I think I have Odor fifth and Kinsler sixth, maybe. I've got Odor ahead of him. I would take him. The Twitter poll said it's not near that close. It was like 75% Odor. Nobody believes in Ian Kinsler.
And apparently you haven't been able to convince anybody that Rougned Odor is bad.
I don't think I've ever said Rougned Odor is bad.
Or disappointing. Or overrated.
I don't think I said any of those things.
What'd you say?
I asked if expectations were too high.
So overrated.
Yeah, you said it without saying it. Anybody else want to weigh in? Did we all answer?
Yeah, Odor, of course.
Yeah, I'd rather have Odor.
Odor
of
it is.
Of course.
I'm going to read all of the sort of fringy starting pitchers that went yesterday. I think it's a pretty interesting list. The most owned of the group is Hector Santiago, Juan Nicasio, Sean Manaea. Those guys are the three most owned. And then you've got Ruby De La Rosa, Clay Buchholz. We know he can get hot. He had a good start yesterday. Kind of surprised, shocked me. Alex Wood, Mike Fiers, Colby Lewis has a 3.32 ERA. And one thing he does really well is he gets quality starts, 5 and 6 starts so far. Chris Medlin was horrible. Tyler Chatwood, not surprisingly, great start at San Diego. And in his career, good on the road. So, you know, why don't we start with the three most owned in this group? That would be Santiago, Nicasio, and Sean Manaea. What do you think about them, you know, as a group? How much do you want to own? Like, if you saw Nicasio, Hector Santiago, and Sean Manaea on your waiver wire, are you definitely adding any, all of them? What do you tell me?
I'm definitely adding Manaea.
Yeah.
And if somebody owns him right now, I might want to try and see if I can pry him loose, because the results have not been that great. But yeah, I like what's going on with, you know, the good control and the strikeouts for Manaea. Nicasio, I mean, I own him in a lot of leagues. I'm hanging on to him. I've seen some good there. Like Chris mentioned, the whiff rate and the strikeouts are a bit disappointing, but, you know, two starts ago was very encouraging, and I didn't expect him to do well against the Cubs. So, I'm holding on Nicasio, and then Santiago, I have no interest.
Yeah, he's going to keep getting dropped, I think. Other guys on the list, De La Rosa was bad at Miami. Alex Wood had a very similar start to Scott Kazmir, a lot of strikeouts against the Rays, but ultimately not a – but his Woods was worse. I don't want to sell Kazmir short. 4 in runs in 5 innings. Buchholz, you know, is interesting to me. I don't know if he is to you. Fiers, Colby Lewis, Medlin, and Chatwood. Thoughts, guys?
I watched Wood pitch quite a bit last night, and I don't know if – I haven't looked at Brooks Baseball yet this morning, but it does not look to me like he's coming anywhere close to repeating his delivery. And I don't know with his delivery how you could really repeat it very often. But, I mean, he got absolutely lit up, mostly just on misplaced pitches. He's just leaving pitches right over the middle of the plate against right-handed bats. I'm not particularly excited about him.
I look at him and Mike Fiers in the same way. They're not pitchers with great stuff. They don't have a huge margin for error. When they do miss their spots, there are some pitchers that can miss their... Jose Fernandez has been missing his spots and is not getting hit hard. Alex Wood and Mike Fiers, if they miss their spot by 2 inches, it's going into the seats. They right. They don't have the margin for error. I have very little interest in either of those guys.
What about Buchholz, guys? You think he could get hot here?
I mean, he could, but it's, again, I'm fatigued.
Yeah. Done chasing that white whale.
Okay.
I will say, we haven't, I know he got bombed yesterday, and by a team that you wouldn't really expect to do all that well against him in the Marlins, but I can't quit Ruby De La Rosa. Like there, it's just it. I continuously feel like he's just like one small tweak away from being really good. And I thought that all season last year, and he would go through stretches where he was good, and then he would go back to being Ruby De La Rosa. He still can't get lefties out really. He still has home run issues, but I continue to find him really interesting, if not necessarily worthy of owning.
Yeah, I'm not particularly. I will. Say I'm about ready to move Tyler Chatwood into the John Gray area of start this Rockies, keep this Rockies pitcher on your bench and just start him on the road.
You know, the whole rotation is almost like that. I mean, Bettis has been not bad.
Okay.
You know, John Gray really shown some
John
promise.
Gray,
I'm
for
not,
sure.
I'm not going to move Chatwood into that territory because he's just not as dominant.
Okay. But he has been in his road starts so far this year for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's, you know, nice, you know, he's pitching with much better control, which is great to see, and he's a ground ball pitcher, so that combination right. will be good enough. And I do kind of have a little deep league thing for Chris Russin.
Okay, you're the champion of the deep leagues after all. It's time for a new segment, guys, and I'm working on a name for this segment. It's a working title. You guys let me know. And the segment is called Al wants to talk about Addison Russell, even though we talked about Russell on Tuesday's podcast, but Al obviously didn't listen to Tuesday's podcast, which I think is kind of rude, but you know what? Al is a nice guy, so I'm going to let him talk about Addison Russell now.
I've got a better name.
Okay.
Addison By or Russell?
That is not a better name, believe it or not.
I've got a better one since we already talked about him this week, and we're going to talk about him again. How about Every Day We Russellin'?
Ooh! Nailed it. That is actually great. Every day we wrestle then. Al, let's wrestle.
All right. Well, I'm probably just going to say the same things you guys said. So this could be like the world's shortest segment ever. But the plate discipline, it's so much better than it was last year. And he's making better contact. And those were the two things that gave me a little bit of reservation about Russell this year. And I just think he's the ultimate buy low. So I actually like Chris's segment title.
Addison or drop, buy or Russell.
I already nailed it, Chris. Accept it.
He still can't hit lefties, or he still hasn't been hitting lefties, which is extremely odd.
Because he's got only 30% of the games.
He's got more walks than strikeouts against lefties, but he's 0-14. And I don't really get it. He was decent to good against lefties in the minors, and then he gets to the majors, and he just is... He has a sub 500 OPS against lefties. It's extremely weird.
Let's give him a few more plate appearances.
It's 141 plate appearances, but
he might be the Marcus Stroman of hitters.
Go on.
Okay.
Like Stroman has these
he's taller than
elite
Stroman.
Strikeout numbers in the minor leagues, and this alleged ace potential, outstanding stuff. And he gets to the majors, and he just doesn't really strike anybody out. And he kind of, to me, is a little bit underwhelming with his actual performance. And everybody keeps thinking he's going to be much better than he is. And there's plenty of time for Marcus Stroman and Addison Russell both to turn into the players we think they're going to be. So far, their performance in the major leagues has been pretty underwhelming.
No, I can't really disagree with that about either of those players.
Yeah.
But it's just... Going into this year, I thought, you know, if Russell can just be a little bit more selective,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, we could really have something. Now, he's not hitting for as much power as he did last year. But, you know, so he's young, and I think he's, you know, he's not quite there yet to consolidating all these skills, but we're seeing a new one. And okay. I find that exciting.
Okay. That's okay. People are excited about Marcus Stroman and things he's doing as well.
I'm going to offer a random trade. Yeah, five. Because you've crapped on Stroman so much, there was only a 5 on the sarcasm meter. But here's a random trade that I just thought of, my brilliant little noggin up here. I give you Xander Bogaerts, and well, you give me Xander Bogaerts and George Springer. I give you Addison Russell and J.D. Martinez.
No chance. No chance.
Oh, wait, no. It would have to be Bogaerts and Martinez. For Russell and Springer. Sorry, I mixed that up. Bogaerts and Martinez for Russell and Springer.
I don't see a huge difference between Springer and Martinez. They're exactly. going to finish pretty close to the same place. And if everything in the world goes right for Addison Russell, he might be as good as Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know why anybody would make that trade.
Oh, because I think Springer could, I mean, it hasn't quite happened yet, but he could steal 25 more bases than J.D. Martinez and hit for similar power.
Okay. Yeah, no chance for me.
All right.
Am I off here?
No, I agree with you 100%.
I guess I agree 100% with what you guys are saying. I just, like, I have trouble getting excited about Xander Bogaerts. I know I'm in the minority there. I just, like...
I'm not particularly excited. I mean, he's
fine.
Yeah. But I don't think Addison Russell is going to be any better than Xander Bogaerts this year or as good.
No, that's fair.
Well, yeah, that's the point. You're downgrading it at shortstop, but you're upgrading it outfield. I thought
maybe.
Anyway. But if you don't think that, then that's fine. I got to tell you about FanDuel. I hope you started Ryan Howard last night. See? That is what I love about FanDuel. You do some research. You find some weird, quirky reason to start somebody that you would never normally start. And then you end up with Ryan Howard on your team for $2,100. And you start him, you win a contest, you win some money. Over 1 million users have already won money on FanDuel.com, including everybody on this show. So why not you? You can win when you play daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. A new team every day, as many teams as you want. Contests start at just $1. You are going to love playing on FanDuel. And if you're a new user, here's what you can do to get basically a free entry. You sign up today and enter your first league, and either you win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee, but up to $10, and it's for additional play. How to get that? You go to FanDuel.com, you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and we've got a promo code for you. One word, no spaces, it's home run. So you click that microphone, you type in home run, and you get more or less a free entry. You get a refund up to $10 if you don't get a cash prize in that league, and that refund is good for additional play on FanDuel.com. Injuries, news, and notes.
I just realized something.
Yeah.
Even your hypothetical trade offers are unfair.
I thought it was pretty fair. Bogarts and Springer Bogarts and Martinez for Russell and Springer. I didn't realize that you were valuing JD Martinez and George Springer that evenly. Springer's haven't hitting great right now, by the way. JD Martinez hasn't. You guys cool with him?
I'm not real concerned about him.
No.
He's actually hitting for a good average, but where's the power?
You know, I really hate Ryan Howard today. My wife gave me such a hard time about him last night. He hit that home run. She said, why don't you say anything nice ever about Ryan Howard?
Why are you so mean to Ryan Howard?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Oh, now I'm getting it from you, Chris.
Yeah.
Thanks
nobody,
a lot, Ryan Howard.
Nobody wants Ryan Howard, right, except for Heath?
I'm fine with adding him. If you've got a first base position, a corner infield position, and a utility position, and you're struggling in home runs, I think you should have Ryan Howard on your team.
Okay.
And that's, you know, very understandable because Heath is very supportive of the elderly.
Yes.
In our game.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the guy that's on a 40 home run pace.
Chris, I'd like a rating.
7. Okay. Solid 7.
Injuries, news, and notes. Hanley Ramirez was scratched due to illness. Gene Segura pinch hit yesterday, so hopefully he gets back in the starting lineup soon. David Ortiz hit the first career home run by a lefty off Carlos Rodon. Just didn't quite have it yesterday. Steven Souza left with a pectoral spasm. That's weird. Pedro Alvarez and Chris Davis could play some third base while J.J. Hardy is out. Be pretty cool if Chris Davis could get third base eligibility. So Domingo Santana, like I said, shoulder tightness. Tyson Ross has not started throwing yet. Come on, Tyson Ross, throw.
Sorry,
Justin
Keith.
Bour, day to day.
I'm down my rankings again today.
Oh, yeah, to where?
45.
Would you rather have McCullers or Ross?
I think maybe Ross. That's tough. That's tough. I hadn't really even. I think I still have Ross higher. I'm not sure if I agree with that, though. Yuck.
I'd rather have McCullers.
See how easy Al made that? Just like
I don't feel as confident as Al seemed to feel in that statement.
Justin Bourne.
I'm actually looking up because it seemed like McCullers was getting close to a rehab. And he is Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
I was about to get there. Eduardo Rodriguez could be back next week. All right, so Eduardo Rodriguez, like, would you would not consider dropping like Sean Manaea for Eduardo Rodriguez, right?
Drop Manaea for Rodriguez? No way.
No chance.
No.
Sorry, Heath. Texas sent Brett Nicholas down to the minors.
Oh,
that is exceptionally disappointing. Somebody else got demoted yesterday too.
Because they did they make a trade?
Yeah, they got
Chris Jimenez.
Or no, they traded Jimenez and to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's it.
But they got some Bobby Wilson.
Bobby Wilson played for them last night.
Okay, there you go.
Who else got demoted, Heath?
This is just a way to bring up a really cool stat. Terrence Gore was demoted yesterday.
Oh.
He got a plate appearance yesterday.
No way.
Swung the bat once. He now has 7 plate appearances in his career. He's never got a hit or gotten a walk, but he has 10 stolen bases. Only 2 players in baseball history have 10 stolen bases and no hits or walks.
Billy Hamilton.
that was an outstanding guess.
That's a 10.
Al is the only one that should know this one.
I'm drawing a blank because now I feel like pressure's on because it's something I should actually know.
Just because it happened in the 70s.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Oh, well, Herb Washington?
Herb Washington.
Hey, wow, all right. Nice work.
Herb Washington, yes. He had 33 plate appearances. Or no, he had 0 plate appearances. Never even got to bat. But 31 stolen bases in his career.
Fellas, here are some mini streaks that I've been noticing. JT Realmuto is now the number 8 catcher in points, number 5 in Roto. Realmuto has a 9-game hitting streak, batting .514 in that stretch, and he led off again last night. I'll read the rest of them here. Jason Castro, .444 batting average with 2 home runs in his last 7 games. Steve Pierce, 4% owned. Looks like he's really just going to be a lefty masher. But his slash line right now, Steve Pierce for the Rays, .300, .375, .520. And CJ Krohn, maybe getting going a little bit. He went 1-for-1 with a double yesterday. He's been pinch hitting. They've been in Milwaukee. But the 16 games before that, batting .327, unfortunately only one walk, but 8 walks, 7 strikeouts, only 2 extra base hits and 58 plate appearances, so hard to get too excited. Realmuto, Castro, Pierce, Krohn. I understand Realmuto is on a different level in terms of ownership, but anything jump out to you with these little streaks?
Not much, although I was saying to Heath, I read something recently about Pierce maybe getting to start against righties occasionally. So if he continues to make the mini streak more of a maxi streak, then I think that could get interesting.
Okay, how about these things that caught my eye yesterday? Corey Seager has batted 7th 2 of the last 3 games, and he sat the other game. They were all 3 against lefties. Troy Tiki Worship, according to my phone, that's Tulowitzki. Tiki Worship was dropped to 6th in the Blue Jays order and had another bad game. Danny Santana climbing up to 12% owned. He stole another base for the Twins. Jose Altuve hit his 8th home run. He's in Chris's all-sell high team. You got to get like a ridiculously amazing offer for Jose Altuve.
You need to get blown away for him.
We need to have a Jose Altuve argument.
Maybe that's this week's head-to-head.
I've been at it for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I'm not sure if I should do it again, but I said 2 weeks ago.
People love arguing with you, man.
In that argument piece with Chris, that Altuve was going to be my number 3 player in fantasy because I thought he could have an AJ Pollock season. I might be selling him short.
I don't know about that.
Chris, that's not a very good response.
Let's just move on to Carlos Correa.
He's a phenomenal baseball player. Yes. And I'd buy the power breakout.
I do not.
Now, Chris's argument is he's not going to maintain a 26% home run to fly ball rate. I'm not projecting him to maintain his current pace and hit 50 home runs. But he's going to hit more than 20.
At this point, yeah. But if you're saying he's the number 3 hitter in fantasy, that's different. He might finish number 3 overall.
Okay.
I do not think he's likely to be the number 3 hitter in fantasy from this point forward.
From 2 weeks ago forward, I think he will.
Okay, but if you take position scarcity into account,
second base isn't actually that scarce of a position right now.
He's going to hit 20 home runs, steal 40 bases, score 120 runs, and hit over 300.
Okay.
All right, now we've taken D. Gordon out of the mix for half of the season.
Yeah.
All right, Cano, obviously, is back to being strong. But I mean,
he's by far the best player at his position. But like, everybody in your league should have a solid starting second baseman right now.
Well, solid, but not on the level of Altuve or Cano.
Nobody's on the level of Altuve. I'm not saying that's not true. But
okay,
nobody's starting someone that nobody in your league should be starting someone at second base that they hate.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's not true. I'm starting Addison Russell at second base in our shallow podcast league. 12 teams, 21-man rosters. It just doesn't always work that way. I like him. I think he could be good, but...
See, you don't hate him. That's what Chris said.
I don't hate him, but still, I mean, Jose Altuve is just...
Yes, Jose... No, I would not argue that Jose Altuve is better than Addison Russell. I 100% on board with that.
Well, good. I'm glad we agree on something, but it's not that deep of a position, I don't think. Especially if you're not buying Daniel Murphy, which I know you haven't been.
No, I think Chris's point can be right and Al's point can be right. Because I think it is a really deep position. It's just that it's really deep because the number 6 and 7 second basemen aren't that good. And so there's a huge range of players that are acceptable starting second basemen because the bar is pretty low to be an acceptable starting second baseman.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Carlos Correa, by the way, hit his first home run in about a month. He had 3 in his first 2 games and... I have gotten a lot of emails about him recently. Is anybody concerned about a sophomore slump from Carlos Correa?
I did just downgrade him to the number 2 shortstop in my fantasy rankings.
Yeah. I will too today because I added Manny Machado.
Yeah.
I mean, I was skeptical. I didn't believe he was going to hit for as much power this season as he did last season. So that's kind of not terribly surprising to me.
Can we go back and I got an Altuve stat I just want to introduce to Chris.
Fine.
Average fly ball distance last year, according to our favorite site, baseballheatmaps.com, 273 feet. This year so far, 298.
Oh, no. He is he's also like among the league leaders in average exit velocity right now. He is doing really well. I would just caution to say that...
he's also raised his launch angle.
A month is not necessarily indicative of a... He's not like getting a bunch of cheap home runs right now, is what I would say. But that's not necessarily proof that for the rest of the season that this skill set is who he is now. It's certainly something he's capable of. I'm just skeptical that he's made this massive jump.
And when you're outscoring all of baseball by at least 10% in fantasy points, you can drop off quite a ways and still be top three.
So, Chris, who would you trade Altuve for?
It would have to be... I don't know specific. You can't ask me that.
You're on your sell-high team. You have to have an answer.
I would need to get...
Giancarlo.
If I could get Stanton and a pitcher... If I could get a really like it would that's what it would need to be. If I'm selling high, if I'm selling high on a guy who's 10% better than everyone else right now, I need
okay. But if you're needing something in addition to Stanton, then you think Altuve is pretty close to top three.
No, I'm selling high on him.
Okay.
The other person is believing that Altuve is top three. That's how a sell high works.
I agree. I agree
that's
with Chris.
That's fair.
It makes total
but you
sense.
You wouldn't take Stanton for Altuve, is what you're saying.
How
I'm not
could
still
you?
High. I'm saying he I mean, got Altuve
no, that's a stupid
Altuve
trade.
And Stanton were being drafted right around the same point anyway, so it's not like that's a massive difference in there. Like it's one for the other. It depends on what you're looking for your team.
There's two aspects to trading. There's there's who do you like better, and then there's understanding somebody's value. And if you trade Altuve, whether you like Stanton better than him rest of the season or not, if you trade him straight up for Stanton, you're not getting enough value for him because he is the number one player in fantasy right now. You need to take advantage of that. You could get more.
I would not trade Altuve for Stanton, but my thought is if I think Stanton's going to be better the rest of the year than Altuve is, and but I have the opportunity to trade him for Stanton, I'd do it.
But you could get more.
I doubt it.
Okay.
He's going to try.
Yeah, you got to try at least. Good for you. Way to try. We're all about effort here. Five up. David Peralta homered. How about that? David Peralta is 90% owned. Do you still believe in David Peralta?
Yes, he is an outfielder that exists.
I think he's probably going to be a decent fourth outfielder, which means he should be about 90% owned.
I'm seeing something very troubling here, guys.
Okay.
Al, you are just being influenced by Heath. The answer you just gave there, yes, he is an outfielder that exists. Who are you? You need to look in the mirror, Al Melchior. Don't get sucked into the trap here.
Heath's poisonous influence.
That wasn't necessarily a diss on David Peralta. That was actually more of a criticism of the question.
Oh, come on.
Do I believe in David Peralta? Yeah, I believe.
I'm agnostic on David Peralta. Yeah. He may exist, but just the evidence, it does not lead me to believe in him.
Adam, I'm going to take you seriously. I have David Peralta right around mid-40s in my rankings the rest of the year. I think an interesting one, a guy that I've moved up to right into David Peralta range, is Will Myers or David Peralta rest of the season.
Oh, you mean Will Myers on Chris's all-sell-high team?
Yeah, I do not really buy the Will Myers thing.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one though, because I'm not like a super big David Peralta fan either. I guess I would take Myers. I just think he has potentially more upside.
Okay, close call. Al, who would you take, Myers or Peralta?
I would take Peralta.
What do you guys make of
not being agnostic on Will Myers?
I had moved Myers to one spot ahead of Peralta, so I think it's exceptionally close.
What do you guys think of Ketel Marte and Marcus Semien? Ketel Marte is streaking right now, 63% owned, and Semien is, I mean, .209 with 7 home runs. The 7 home runs are great.
Well, I'm really encouraged by both. And yeah, it's a little frustrating that Semien's hitting .209, but I still think it's early enough in the season that I'm not really worried that much about batting average.
And to .197 BABIP. It was .312 last season. He's not striking out that much more.
Yeah. So and the power's there in a good way.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that I didn't drop Ketel Marte because I had way too much of him, and Jung Ho Kang, I guess, is never going to come back. I believe Marte's going to be a very close, like, I've got him in the Edison Russell range. I think he's going to be a bottom end shortstop, but startable.
Rest of season, Steven Matz or Felix Hernandez?
Matz.
Felix.
Yeah, I'll go Felix still.
He said Matz. Wow, Chris. Woo. Wow. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because he's another guy that's not getting. I noticed this last night. He's not getting very many swinging strikes either. He's getting a ton of called strikes right now, and I'm not sure what that says, because he is someone that I would expect with his stuff, you know, 94, 95 mile an hour fastball from a lefty with four pitches that he can throw consistently and confidently. I would expect that to turn around. I am worried enough about Felix and encouraged enough about Matz.
Okay.
How about Matz or Nola?
I think they're really similar players.
Guys, I've got them back to back.
Once I saw Steven Matz not getting that many swinging strikes, he's actually getting a lot fewer than Nola. I think they're really similar players. They're kind of mirror images of each other in a lot of ways.
I don't want to act like having Matz over Felix rest of the season. That could absolutely happen. But I've got a wide range between them. So I'm wondering if you're that high on Matz or that low on Felix.
I think I'm higher on Matz and lower on Felix than you are.
So you have Felix below Greinke, you think?
I don't think that's crazy.
Okay. And Danny Salazar?
I guess that's...
Or Matz ahead of Greinke and Danny Salazar.
Okay, maybe I'll go Felix over Matz. I really do like Matz, though.
Right. I moved Matz up today.
Yeah.
And I've got him one spot behind Nola. Maeda's right in that same range. But I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. That whole 15 through 30 range in starting pitchers is so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And there's a guy who's pitching tonight that I am starting to become a bit of a believer on. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I think I have been very, very impressed with Masahiro Tanaka this year.
Wow.
And
I was really
shocked.
Hoping you were going to say that you thought DeGrom would be good against the Padres.
No, he should be. But I've been shocked at how impressed I've been. I was expecting very little from Tanaka. He is a completely different pitcher. I look forward to talking about this tomorrow, but a ton of ground balls, pitching down in the zone, kind of lost the four-seam fastball and substituted it, well, or compensated with the two-seamer. And we'll see if he can do it against the Orioles tonight.
He's just a splitter thrower now. That's his go-to pitch. He throws the splitter 38% of the time now.
Everything is down, though. And last year, the home runs killed him. And this year, he's not giving them up, and he's getting a ton of grounders. So he's interesting to me, and interesting start tonight. We'll see. That's about it for me. Let's see if we can read some emails on the spot here. This is from Jason. Who would you rather have rest of season? Granderson, Michael Saunders, or Colby Rasmus? It's 5x5 roto.
Granderson, and if somebody thinks that's Granderson's value, I would be making offers.
Jose Quintana question from Jason. This is a cool email. I don't know if you guys have noted this, but I've always thought Jose Quintana has been underrated, but I did notice last year and over his career, he has not pitched well against his division opponents except for Cleveland. And to date, he has not pitched against a single division opponent. Is there anything to this with Jose Quintana?
It's hard to see that. And, you know, from the start of his career, I'm sure there's been a ton of roster turnover on those teams. But the thing that just strikes me, whether it's opponents or not, is just he gave up his first home run the other night, and yet he's got the lowest ground ball rate of his career so far. So there's regression coming. But I agree. I mean, he's been underrated. He's very solid. But he's due for a downturn.
And I looked at his game logs from last year, maybe even the year before for Quintana, and he has had stretches this good. I mean, it's not like this. Mm-hmm. He's never done anything like this before. And he ends up having the same season all the time. he'll win more than nine games, but like 330 ERA, 200 innings, 175 strikeouts.
The thing you have to keep in mind with him is he's going to start 26 more games. He's only going to win five more games. Like, he just can't win more than nine games. That's what we believe about Jose Quintana.
I'm a White Sox believer, by the way. I think they're legit.
I'm not at all. I think one of the points he brings up is a really good one. They haven't played anybody in their division very much. They've been on a really nice streak, but I have a feeling that they're going to get beat up by the Tigers and Royals quite a bit.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that they have three.
Like, what do you think is so good about them?
Their defense has gotten a lot better, and I think their bullpen is better this year.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just think they were kind of a young team, and Todd Frazier has done nothing, and they're in first place. So
they're not getting much from their two best hitters.
Yeah, and Eaton hasn't done, like, Eaton, Abreu, and Frazier all could do a lot better. I think this team is legit. I think they're going.
Well,
to
Latos is going to do much, much worse.
Who cares?
And we just said there's some regression coming for Quintana.
Regression coming doesn't mean he's going to be bad. He's still solid.
No.
You think they're making the playoffs? Like,
seventh or eighth in baseball in WAR among pitchers in the last 365 days. I'm pretty sure that's a true statement.
Who? Who's that?
Okay.
You know what? He can't hear me.
Throwing out there.
Let's end the show on that then. I'm Adam Azer for Al Melchior, Heath Cummings, Chris Towers. Did not mean to put you last again, Chris Towers. I apologize for that.
No, it's fine.
I will plug another one of your articles next time you're on the show. You have my word. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.